Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
Clears it past midfield. Up ahead towards Torden. Torden bouncing it in the air. A hat trick as Pietro Torden beyond 20. Sends it, and it flicks into the goal.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Here's Rodriguez now, corner of the 18, far side of the field, defended by Bye. Overlapping run from Alvarez. Rodriguez misses the pass, dribbles central, goes off the post, and then finished by Violante. 2-1 America, 63rd minute.
Dirk and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning. Oh, how are we doing? Happy Monday. How are we doing, Swag?
We're doing okay.
We're doing okay?
Catching up a little bit. Well,
what happened?
I had work yesterday.
I heard.
It's that time of the year.
Yeah.
Look, I went to Europe for 2.5 weeks, so I'm going to be the last person here to. So. We just had, you know, all the home teams had stuff going on this weekend. We were just a guy short.
Yeah, we had fire going on, thorns, timbers.
So while I've been in the starting rotation, we're a little short in the bullpen. So
you had to go a little longer than you wanted, huh?
I needed to go, you know.
How many pitches did you, if we count Sunday as last week, this is the start of the new week, Monday.
Yeah.
How many innings or pitches did Jason Swigard throw and go?
Ooh.
Did well, we go eight and throw like 112?
No. It was some spot duty. It was a makeup doubleheader from a rain delay earlier. So it was just a little spot duty right there that needed to be done for the station.
All right. Well, you said you're catching up. What does that mean? Like catching up on what?
Just yesterday. So it was right in the middle of the day. So you couldn't really get into anything else. And then on my way back, stopped by, saw how my dad was doing.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to get up and, you know, walk a little bit.
Yep.
So I was there with helping him do that and got home. And then,
yep.
You know, the wife has a couple of things wants you to attend. And then I knew it was just you and I. So you had said I'd sent a bunch of, we're trying to find a guest.
Yep.
So we're
we got
doing
one,
that.
By the way. Stuart Mandel, 904.
Good job. That'll be fantastic. And then there was just a lot of audio and things and.
I know, and we got in this morning, and
then
even more audio and things.
I was hopeful that the Jack Cassidy era of Timbers soccer would end without a defeat, and that did not happen,
well,
so I stayed up and watched that.
Yeah, to be fair, I saw some of it. I didn't see all of it, but
they
I saw
were in
some
over their heads.
Yeah. Well, also, like, Patrick just told me straight up, like, 2 weeks ago, they don't care about this tournament.
Not in the big scheme of things.
Which is a little disappointing, because, like, I get why you wouldn't. They're playing really good in the MLS schedule. But fans are at these games. You know what I mean? Like to hear.
Well, there were more Club America fans than Timbers fans last night.
Well, they probably cashed in on selling those tickets.
They sold those separately, not included in your season ticket package. You have the opportunity to purchase them before they go on sale to the public, but they are not part of your season ticket package.
It's a bit of a bizarre decision. Why is that?
I just want to make more money.
Because it was already on the schedule, right? It didn't change, did
well,
it?
It's not on. They don't know who it is and when they will actually be when the season starts.
Oh, they didn't, like from the Timbers or the international side?
The whole thing.
Oh.
The whole thing gets set up after the season starts.
Well, that's a little odd.
It is.
I don't know if
welcome
I like that.
Welcome to international soccer.
Yeah, well, the NBA Cup tournament kind of had that too because it'd be like, well, we're going to Vegas. Well, who's going to Vegas? We don't know yet. We'll give you like a one-week
Well, but you knew
up.
What group you were in. You knew the teams that you were going to be playing at some point in some capacity for the Cup.
Well, what is it about? Let me ask you this, because we obviously have a spot now where there's a lot of people with a lot of money and there's a lot of people with no money.
Right.
The middle ground is, as we've noted, it's shrunk.
Yeah.
It's shrinking. So I guess what I would ask is soccer or football, whatever you want to call it, NBA, like why – college football does this. The hey, this is where we're playing the big game for your big team. You have exactly X amount of time to get these tickets. Oh, are you not financially ready for it? What's your deal? Right? Like, if you're an Oregon Duck fan and you have an expectation that they're going to be at minimum in the semis, even if they don't get the bye, they're going to seemingly host the first round in Eugene. That's easily accessible. You just drive from anywhere in the state. But then the second round, you know what I mean? Like, you have to make decisions financially that cost thousands of dollars. And most of the time, the window to make those decisions is
very short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's with sports leagues doing that to people.
I don't know. I how else would you do it, I guess, is the other question.
Well, the in-season tournament stuff with the NBA and soccer is a tough one to answer because while you may diminish the value of winning it or what it means, you can't argue with the fact that, like, in the NBA, you've got real players that care about it.
Yeah.
I don't know about the MLS. I can't pretend to know what the Timbers players feel about the club or the League Cup.
I think it's just more a matter of, like, some teams, if you're out of it, so to speak, you'll throw everything into it because it's an opportunity to win something if it looks like your prospects of winning an MLS Cup are going deep in the playoffs.
Which is great. I mean, your team winning something always
having something to play for in the season when the big season looks like it's getting away.
But it's not the stakes of the title. It's not even a conference final.
No,
right?
But
like,
it is.
The stakes are different.
There is a bunch of money.
No doubt, which is important in soccer.
And
we know
it
that.
Does get you into the CONCACAF League's Cup, which eventually – there is a World Cup sort of thing for the top clubs across – the globe.
Sure. So if you care about that,
if you care about that and getting more money and more exposure and...
So then help me explain this, because if Patrick's telling me they don't care and you're telling me there's
money... It's not a priority for them right now because of... Managerial change. And he is making his debut here in the last match this Thursday against Tijuana. So that will be Marty Cifuentes' first game on the sideline.
Cassidy came in and just, like, kept that thing humming, man.
He kept it humming, but they were overmatched. You saw what a big-time club in Club America, who has been one of the juggernauts of Liga MX for decades.
Gotcha.
And spends money.
So you're just catching up to all the weekend festivities.
Yeah.
Did you dive into the NFL much? Camp updates.
We're
in a weird spot now.
Not
we officially
much.
Hit the kind of plateau of summer football. We are exactly, by the way, 30 days away from the National Football League.
There you go.
We got 1 month, and
That's right.
On our televisions.
On a Wednesday night.
That means there's less than that with college football returning in our lives. We're very close, but we're in that, like...
I will probably more catch up with NFL towards this weekend when the first bout of...
They all start playing Thursday.
Thursday is the first full weekend of NFL preseason.
But it's like right now, college especially, because the NFL is at least open. I read a really interesting article. I thought it was a really good idea.
I'm keeping track of some key injuries and stuff like that.
But like Ohio State has opened up their camp NFL style. They're charging tickets for fans to show up, and like they watch practice exactly how the NFL does it. And I'm like... It is only a matter of time before all this secrecy doesn't completely disappear, but I think the practicing part, like if you tell Oregon that they can make an extra blank amount of dollars selling practice tickets regularly the way that the NFL does, I just think you're gonna make more money that way, and that's another revenue stream.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they approach that. I think it's more coach to coach.
It could be, but if Iowa State's doing it, there's not really an excuse for any other program to really
bat an eye at it. And especially if it's just, a lot of 7-on-7, a lot of shell stuff, a lot of, position drills, technique, all that sort of stuff.
I don't think it's every practice all week. I think it's like select practices
exactly.
They sell the tickets to.
And then stuff where you're actually installing schematics and plays and situational stuff that you want to keep under wraps, then go either into the indoor facility or it's closed practice, that sort of thing.
Exactly. So I don't know
that colleges will go all the way where they're showing up every day for 3 weeks, like training camp, like some places do at training
but
camp.
But it's kind of fun. Like Cowboys, they practice in California.
That's a totally different circus unto itself.
No, I'm just saying, though, like you get teams that'll move. I do think it's funny that the best league in that sport is like completely opened up and they don't care. And the lower level of the sport is like sworn to secrecy, don't share anything unless it's a sick Cam Coleman one-handed over the middle catch at Texas, right? Like, or it's an Evan Stewart breakaway catch and run. Like, colleges operate in a world as if we don't know what systems they're running.
Yeah.
And, oh, how dare you know what our transfer portal running back looks like. Whereas the NFL, they're like, hey, man, we make way more money. We're way more important in the sports landscape. Yeah. We don't care if you watch all of this.
Plus, the NFL, they'll also make stuff up more and change and adjust and put new stuff in as the season goes on. I think college schematically, once you start the season, you kind of have your stuff and you tweak it.
Yeah, but like we'll get to a lot of audio today at Oregon and Oregon State. We heard from the coaches at OSU, by the way, who had a media day after like their third practice. Odd way of doing it.
Yeah, it was strange.
But whatever.
They called it media day. I don't know if it was actually a media day or they just said, okay, we need to make everybody available. This is how we're going to do it.
And I think that's what it was.
Because the coordinators went on one day and then players went on a different day and Shepard went. So it was over the course of the first few practices.
But we'll get to Oregon and Oregon State stuff today and discuss some of the camp, some of the buzz, all that stuff.
Yeah, we heard from the new OCs in Eugene.
But Drew Maringer's not going to – they're not running an entirely different offense.
No, that's the thing, especially them.
But that's my point is like –
I mean, the Beavs are totally starting from scratch.
Sure, but this is what's funny about it to me is like the secrecy and how dare you never watch it. It's like, dude, we know your system. It might be a little different because of the guy calling the plays and what plays he calls when he calls them, but we're largely knowing you're running the same system. He was there last year.
Yeah.
He's not coming in with an entirely new way of running things. You're not going from the triple option to, you know, the Mike Leach offense. We're not doing that. So this secrecy thing I always found a little comical at the college level. But it was a good weekend. I had a nice little weekend. I didn't have to work overtime the way you did. Luckily, I had
Saturday,
the weekend off.
I barely moved off the couch.
Oh, really? You were a bum.
Well, Friday night was my parents, my mom and stepdad have had a group of friends, this little wine club. Once a month they get together and they, you know, have a theme and try different wines from all over the place. And so they had a few of their regulars who were on vacation or couldn't come. So the missus and I, she said, why don't you guys come down and be a part of that? So we did that. So we had a late Friday night. So Saturday, I'm like, I got to work on Sunday. I'm going to have to do, I barely moved off the
AKA
couch.
Super hungover, couldn't move because you're getting
not
older.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. I like that it was bad at all. I had an interesting weekend. Sunday was great, by the way. Sunday was a nice reminder. We ended up having like a weird, unplanned dinner party.
Oh.
And it was like a bizarre one where it was
What'd
like.
What'd you make?
Well, we just did tacos.
Okay.
We're getting ready. We got a vacation. We're leaving town tomorrow. And so it's like a lot of cleaning and
is
laundry.
It just your family or is it a big extended group of people's?
Kind of a mixed bag. We're going to go down first, our family, and we're going to take in the Padre game tomorrow. They play the Brewers.
Did you finally get tickets?
I did.
Nice.
Yeah. I couldn't get suite tickets, but I got tickets and they seem like they're pretty good tickets based on what I looked up.
Good. Because it looked like a party last night on Sunday night.
It did.
That whole beach area right behind.
I can't wait to check this out. I want to see the district. I want to see the stadium.
The district area is awesome.
I cannot wait. I've never been to San Diego. We'll be down there early. And then after that, the next day, we have to drive to Anaheim. But we're going to make our way up the coast and stop at a couple beach towns.
Okay.
And so we'll kind of divert that way. We'll get to Anaheim, which is an hour and a half away from San Diego. And then we're meeting up with my brother and sister-in-law, and their kids are flying in Wednesday.
Are you doing Disneyland?
Then we're doing Disneyland Thursday for one day.
Okay.
And then after that, we drive the next morning, Friday, back to San Diego. And then my other sister-in-law and her daughter, who just graduated high school, they're going to join us at Disneyland, and then we're all going to go down to San Diego for a couple days together. And then everybody flies out Sunday, and then we come back. We fly back Tuesday.
Okay.
So we'll have a few days by ourselves, but mostly it's a kind of a mixed bag vacation.
Yeah, the back and forth part sounds a little exhausting.
It's a little bit, yeah, but we got a minivan. We'll be okay. We'll be able to figure it out. But we're getting ready and we're cleaning, right? We're trying to get our animals in order. And I'm like, let's just do tacos. We had somebody, like my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were scheduled to come over. They had nothing going on. So yeah, come on over. And then that turned into a friend, a mutual friend of ours. she brought her three kids. So then they show up early, and I was like, oh. But I bought a lot of food. I got the Blackstone out. I go in my garage. I got the Blackstone in my driveway, garage TV. I got WNBA. I've got the replay of the golf tournament. I've got Sunday Night Baseball with the Padres and Astros. Like, it was just a nice reminder, like, football is soon to be on my quad box here.
That's right.
And I cannot wait to be making, like, a breakfast a little later on in the 10 a.m. slate. But everybody starts showing up, and before I know it, I've got, like, 15 people in my house. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're hosting. Margs were being, drank and poured, and the food all got eaten, so we didn't have many leftovers, which is great because we're going to be gone for a week. We don't want leftovers.
Yes.
So it was a nice, like, refresher of, hey, man, cooking and kind of hanging out and having a good vibe. Like, it's already been great, but, like, football's around the corner, and to me that makes it even better. You would be shocked to find out, Swag, that this weekend we almost had another dog. The house that seemingly always finds an animal somehow stumbled across a dog.
I mean, you already have a small petting zoo.
It's ridiculous. I have a rabbit. I've got a bearded dragon. I've got a gecko. I've got a hamster. And I've got a big dog. And that's been, like, a lot. Well, we're going for a walk on Saturday night or Friday night. Or no, Saturday. I can't remember.
So one of the people at the party trying to pawn a dog off
on
you?
No.
Or some dog showed up?
So we go for a walk in our neighborhood. My dog is always on a leash. He does not like other dogs, right? So we're always being wary. I look ahead of the road, Swag. What do I see?
Stray dog.
See a little dog, like a little stray.
Oh.
But I see a lady with it. And I'm like, oh, she's letting her little dog. I'm talking like this dog is maybe a foot long, right? It's a tiny little dog. And I'm like, oh, she's got her dog off leash. So I was going to actually pick my dog up. And as I got closer, she picks the dog up. And as she walks by, Swag, I go, better you pick your dog up than me pick mine up. And she turns and she goes, it's not my dog. And I go, what? And she goes, it's not my dog. And I go, oh. And she goes, yeah, it's been running around for 2 days. I've been walking around for hours. I'm trying to find the owner. It had no collar. Right? Had no identification. It looked like it had just been groomed. So now this lady, this gal can't be older than 22. Like, she's really young, and she's holding the dog, right? And she's like, me and my boyfriend are trying to call shelters or whatever, but it's, like, kind of late. It's, like, 8:45 at night. And so we start talking, and she's like, I can't have this dog. I have four cats. So I can't have a dog in my house. So the wife and I make eye contact, like, we're not going to let a little dog be a stray. Like, I don't want to see a dog get eaten by coyotes. So, like, we basically tell the gal, if you can't figure this out in the next 20 minutes, hit us up. We'll hold the dog. Because you feel guilty. This dog is adorable. It's smart. It's listening. It's not barking. Like, it's a good dog. So she hits us up. Dog comes into our house. Now we have to separate the big dog from the little dog.
Oh, God.
So the little dog is in the garage. Big dog's in the main house, but the big dog knows there's no dog in here. And the big dog's smelling that little dog. So now we're stuck at, like, the feeding and my wife has posted on every, next door and Facebook and the neighborhood stuff, like, text everybody. Nobody is claiming this dog. And this dog has just been groomed. It seems slightly older. Why would you dump a dog? I don't get it. Like, why would you groom a dog just to dump a dog?
So it makes more sense. Probably an older owner dog snuck out.
That's what we were
older
worried about.
Older owner hasn't figured it out.
Not
yet.
On social media or something. Maybe an old lady or
something,
old guy,
like,
something. So the next day comes. We're still taking care of the dog. My wife takes the dog to go see if it's got a chip. So she drives to Tigard. No chip. I'm like, cool. All right. Nobody has claimed the ownership of this dog. So now this dog is at our house, and all day we're playing this, where's the big dog? Okay, great. Now you can bring the little dog out. Hey, where's the little dog? Now we can bring the big dog out. And then we wash the dog because it kind of stank. We've been outside, for a couple of days, all that. So now we have the dog, and I'm in a weird spot where my youngest is becoming attached to this dog. She gets to carry it around. She gets to walk it. It's real easy compared to the big dog. All day this dog is at my house. People are coming over now and having dinner randomly. And I'm on my back deck, and there's just this dog is just hanging out. Everybody's petting this dog, loving this dog. We cannot get anybody to respond. Well, finally, at like 8:45 last night, one of our neighbors from behind us on the street somehow got wind that we had the dog. And so she just showed up to our house and took the dog. and said, hey, the dog, we just cut it and gave it a bath. But we, you know, she roams sometimes. And we were like, well, why is her collar not on? You know, started like thinking of all these questions. But we didn't ask those. She just took the dog and walked away. And I just thought, like, we were this close to somehow.
Yeah.
How? Every animal that just ventures off is dumped or lost. We somehow stumble across.
Animals know. They just know.
They just know we're the Nutty Professor house.
Dogs know if you're a dog person.
Or the Dr. Doolittle house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dogs can tell if you're a dog person.
And it was a great dog. I actually became kind of attached to it.
Cats know if you're a cat person.
I know.
Cats know I'm not a cat person.
Yeah, but somehow all the animals. A rabbit. How did a rabbit stumble across us? A damn rabbit? Like, not a wild one. An obvious pet rabbit.
I don't know.
Somehow hopping right next to my house as my wife's on a run. And now we got a little dog just strayed and alone. I'm like, how did I go from having one dog and saying, this is good? Didn't even want that dog, by the way. That's another lost dog.
I'm more curious about the 20-year-old girl with four cats.
I mean...
That's got some splaining to do.
She's got a boyfriend. Like, they seem really nice. And
okay.
Maybe they're just big cat people.
I don't understand cat people.
I mean, you know, teach their own, but like just a big cat person. And she couldn't have, like, this dog would have been way smaller than those cats, by the way. But yeah, we dodged a little bit of a bullet because we're going on vacation and I didn't want to have to try to navigate who was going to watch the second dog that's not our dog, but was kind of become, it was a weekend nonetheless. We got a loaded show today. There is a lot to discuss. The cafe is loaded. We'll hear from the Oregon coordinators for the first time. Chris Hampton and Drew Merringer gave their thoughts down in Eugene. We heard from them this weekend. And Oregon State had Media Day. Stuart Mandel at 9:04. It's going to be a wild one, a fun one. Dirt and Sprague, let's get it going. 105.1, The Fan.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
The cafe will open in about a half hour. Cafe Day Dirt and Spray coming up at 7 a.m. We'll hear from the coordinators down in Eugene for the first time. Drew Merringer and Chris Hampton talked about the offense and defense and their first years calling the plays for the Oregon Ducks this season. We'll hear down in Corvallis, Jamarcus Shepherd saying something out loud that was quite interesting, but still asking for fan support. Even if this does happen, we'll get to that coming up as well. And as I mentioned in the first segment, Stuart Mandel will join us coming up at 9:04. He says he's going to be in his car. So let's keep our fingers crossed there that the connection with Stuart Mandel is okay.
Okay.
There's a lot to talk about in college football with Stuart Mandel. Couple fan notes I want to get to start the show this weekend, from the weekend, I would say.
Fan notes.
One, you do not have to engage with the WNBA conversations when they happen. You can choose
you
to
can
ignore
just
it.
Watch the action.
Exactly. Did you watch the Wings and the Lynx yesterday?
I did not watch that. I watched the Liberty
the Aces
game, but the Aces
load managed.
It's a 44 game regular season.
And not a good look for Becky Hammon and the
why are
Vegas
we load
Aces,
managing,
especially on a primetime game?
So yeah. Liberty kind of everybody chipped in. Johannes had 7 threes off the bench and tearing it up.
McBride was awesome for the Lynx. She
McBride
set the record.
Set a league record with 10 threes.
You do not have to engage.
The Fire had a nice night Saturday night.
They did. They took care of our I-5 rivals. It's
they
rivalry
did.
Week in the WNBA.
So, you know, not enough season left for them. They've got a couple of key injuries and some younger players are starting to get some time. Not enough season left to sneak into the back end of the playoffs.
Well, it also doesn't happen that one of the best players tore ACL.
Yes.
And is out for the year now. But can choose to not engage with the culture war.
No, you don't have to.
The
just
WNBA.
Watch the games.
Also, Kathy Engelbert should be fired.
I am still surprised that part of the new CBA, when we have the lockout start the season, where we're going to have a season, I am actually shocked the players didn't demand as part of that she stepped down. If she needs to stay in the background.
I mean, they were asking for it to happen, but I think they were too time-crunched to be able to get every single thing they wanted out of that. I think that was the tough situation. I think she should be fired. She's paying too much attention to the culture wars instead of leaning in and saying, our league's actually pretty awesome. We got great players everywhere. Yeah. We don't care about what Enos Kanter decides to do. Well, she's not diffusing
No.
it. She's leaning into it, unfortunately.
She has no clue.
So I just wanted to note that for the show because I'm not going to talk about Royce White declaring himself a woman so he can join the WNBA. I just want that to be known. Highmark Stadium, the new Bills Stadium. Did you see this story, Swag?
I have not seen that story.
So it's a multi-billion dollar venture. It's built. It's ready to be, you know, unveiled this season. They've supposedly built it so high up that they've cut the wind from actually playing a big impact in the games. At least that's what they're saying publicly. We'll wait to see what it's going to be. But everybody's really excited about a new stadium, right? As people noted, the stadium and the person that designed it ended up coming up with multiple viewpoints that are blocked.
Ruh-roh.
Because they're designed like where seats are behind certain sections, so the certain sections are cutting off from the 15 to the end zone. So if you sit there, you cannot see it. And I just can't understand. In the day and age where cities and states are funding big billion-dollar projects like this, I'm sure the Pagulas put in their own money as well. But like when we're deciding to spend a lot of our own money, our tax dollars on this stuff, how we're not having obscured views? Like how do you build a stadium that expensive, that new, and not one person goes, you know, actually, there's like 5 different spots in the stadium where people will pay top dollar, sit, and not be able to see certain pockets of the stadium. It's utterly ridiculous.
Very strange.
It's very strange. I'd be pissed off. Could you imagine paying for the ticket at the Bills game and you sit down and you go, cool, I can't see from the 20 into the end zone. I wonder if Josh Allen's going to score. I guess I'll wait for the reaction. You're waiting for either the Boo Birds or the cheering going crazy to decide whether he scored that touchdown.
Or you have to watch on a video board somewhere.
Well, it's just
Yeah, I know.
Its stadium looks awesome. How do you have this? How is this possible?
That's the part, especially a football stadium. Like baseball stadiums, I understand because they can be, if they're asymmetrical, like the new Hop Stadium from where we are on the first baseline, there's not a lot of foul territory. So if it goes down the right field and stays in, we can't tell if the guy caught it or if it's fair or foul. We have to look at the ump. That I get.
Yeah, but even a football stadium.
But a football stadium is.
It's all around a rectangle.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I don't understand.
But we're doing these cool, like, architecture, you know, designs and, like, oh, look how it sits.
And how do you
way.
Not do a 3D rendering at this point? Because they have the viewpoint from every seat.
You would think that enough 3D rendering, AI, like, just
VR.
Modern day. Yeah, you would think that they'd have
the Hops had VR stuff when they were building the.
It would look like?
See what season, when they were selling the season tickets.
Yeah,
like, what's it going to look like from where you are?
That's smart.
How can you not figure that out?
Yeah. I don't know how
unless
they change it out,
but. Stuff as the construction process went on.
I'm going to be curious to see what the full range of Petco looks like. Because I have really good seats.
Yeah.
But also like maybe I just get
Are you along the infield
around.
Somewhere or are you more in the outfield?
I'm in the infield. I'm above I think the visiting dugout.
Oh, okay. Then you
I'm in section
should,
like 114.
You should have a full view of things.
Oh, I'll have a great view of things, but like I like to get to new stadiums I've never been to early and just kind of
walk
peruse
around.
And
Absolutely.
Walk around and see the different vantage points.
Yeah.
And, like sometimes the outfield standing around seat is the best seat.
Oh yeah.
Like the Mariners have that, right? In their center their left center field area.
The one thing I'll be curious about, I don't know if like the Western Supply Building and the outfield, it looks like the outfield is separate from the rest of the stadium. I don't know if you can completely walk.
At Petco?
Yeah.
Oh, it's separated, huh?
Well, I don't know. Because they kept the Western Supply Building there.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you have access to walk around the entire thing the way you do
Safeco?
At Safeco or T-Mobile now.
I'm always going to call it Safeco.
It's like 5 years ago.
I know. It might be longer than that at this
like
point.
It was before COVID.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. I'll always probably call it Safeco. Yeah, no, I'll let you know.
I'll be curious.
More curious about the district because I know that they
built
that
up. Oh, the Gaslight District's fantastic.
They built it up, right, even more than
when continues. It's awesome.
Yeah. We're aiming to stay mostly in Mission Bay, But there's a part of me that wants to get a hotel for that night near the stadium. But, man, you should see the price differences between a game night and a non-game night.
Yes.
It's insane. It's easily more than double. And I'm like, wait, that hotel just 2 days prior is $880 a night. And now it's like $245. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
So I saw that. I wanted to note that because I thought it was funny. Like, we got a new stadium and you can sit places where you can't see the full field. It's just, it's an embarrassment. I also saw this locally. So you mentioned it in the first segment, and I wanted to put a pin on it and bring it back. I did not watch full Timbers action yesterday, okay?
Yeah.
But you noted how Club America had a lot of fans. Did you see Veld yesterday in the postgame?
I did not see Velda.
Velda, he basically went off and said, I've never seen anything like this. He was absolutely irate that their stadium was taken over.
Yeah.
In fact, while he's talking about it, the fans behind him are Club America fans, and they're screaming and chanting.
Good for him.
And he turns around and he goes, this is pathetic.
Yeah.
He just called – I mean, he didn't really say, Timbers fans, you've let me down, but he kind of did say, Timbers
fans,
you've
let me
down.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're taking a shot at the MLS for – like, I don't know how the ticketing process worked for that, this particular League's Cup. I don't know if it was an MLS controlled at all or if it was the teams. That piece, I don't have a good understanding. I do know from my friends that have season tickets, it's not part of the season ticket package. They have the opportunity to purchase their seats for it when it comes out. But here it comes out. It's in the middle of the summer. When you get the season tickets, you're like, oh, they got a break for 2 weeks. Let's plan a vacation there in August so we don't miss any games. It's one of those things. And I don't know what they were priced, if there was a premium on top of them. So they're like, wait, they're how much? So I don't know how exactly the whole ticketing process worked. But, yeah, it wasn't a good look. Now, the other thing is, you're only going to see that for Club America. I didn't see that for Puebla. I don't expect Tijuana to bring half a stadium worth of fans.
Sure. I think more to me, it's just like sometimes those opposing fan bases have the abilities. Like, who's the fan base you hate when they take over a stadium the most? In your experience.
Ooh. Niner fans.
Niner fans?
Yeah.
You've been to, like, a Dallas home? Are you? I assume you're talking from a Dallas perspective. Or are you just meeting
in
general?
No, I mean, like, that Thursday night game we went up, I was like, there's a lot. You always expect a smattering.
That was.
And I'm not even a Seahawks
whole side
fan.
Of red.
I was just looking. I was like, there is an awful lot of red.
It's been their biggest problem the last 4 years. They haven't beaten the Niners, I think, at Lumen in like 4 or 5 years. And I think it's largely because there's almost as many Niner fans at these home games as there are Seahawk fans.
I'm sure because I watched obviously Dodger games all the time. So when the Dodgers roll into like San Diego, San Francisco, somewhere else.
This is an easy one for me. Laker fans can be a lot. I'm going Warrior fans.
Dubs fans
are
obnoxious.
Easily the worst ones. Now, look, the diehards, you know the diehards from the New Age Curry ones.
Yeah.
The diehards are coming in.
They're rocking Mitch Richmond jerseys.
A Donald Foyle jersey.
Exactly.
Right? Like, they're coming in, and they're like, holy crap, where did you get that jersey? Is that a Hardaway? Matt Barnes?
Hardaway Jr. never played for the Warriors. No. That's Hardaway. Got skills.
Who's Mullen? Like, that's when I know you're a real OG. But and look, I've been to like 7 Warrior games, pre and with Curry. And you'd see Warrior fans every once in a while at the pre-Curry Warrior games for the Blazers because they used to be the easy ticket. Like, nobody would want to go to that game with that, you know, that Olympian, that ugly-ass Warrior logo they used to have. You'd see them once in a while. A Jason Richardson jersey. Man, I can't explain. The Curry Dub Warrior fans, it's an entire bandwagon of people. And I understand every good team generates bandwagon fans. But this was becoming like, not only bandwagon, but in your face about how amazing they were. And it's like, where were any of you 10 years ago? You didn't exist. This is all fake. So I think for me, it's Warrior fans. There's really good rivalry ones. I've been to Oregon and Oregon State games. Largely when they're in Corvallis, you see a lot more Duck fans than if you go to Eugene and see Beaver fans. I've been to Washington, Oregon games. Those are pretty good. There's a good section of Oregon fan in Seattle, but mostly it's Husky fan and vice versa. But for me, like the worst one in my experience, having seen it and lived it, is the Warriors, because it just felt the fakest thing. It none of it felt real at all. It's like, oh, you're here for the gimmick. You're here for the show. Okay, good to know. But Timbers players not happy yesterday about Club America overtaking Providence, and we've got the crappiest view sections at Buffalo's Highmark Stadium. It's certainly something for fans nowadays. A lot more to get into. The cafe is going to open up at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in 6:44 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. Sprague hanging out. Dirt back Wednesday. I'm out tomorrow, so we will have a best of show tomorrow, I assume, right? Unless somebody stepped in.
No, nobody's sitting in. It'll be a little hybrid, mostly best of. We'll do a live cafe based on anything that may or may
not.
You're
doing a live cafe?
We'll do a live cafe. I'll grab some audio. Hmm. We'll do that.
Okay.
So you'll probably get some of the Greg Oden Hour from last week.
As we should.
We'll go back Big Ten media days we had. We had some guests joining us there, kind of previewing the season now that we've started a week or so of practices.
Oh, yeah.
And then some odds. Brooke Olsendam, we have to reprise that. Since it is a Mail Sack Tuesday,
we can.
I'll edit. We'll piece it together.
A certain comment got me in trouble with one of our coworkers. I'm pretty sure he hates me, so that's been fun to deal with. By the way, shout out our guy, Will Power. He finished third at the Grand Prix of Portland.
There you go.
That's the Dirt and Sprague bump. He was sitting 14th in the points. You're welcome, Will.
There you go.
You're always welcome back on the program here.
Of course.
Anytime we can help you. College football, we'll get to the Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague coming up. We'll hear from Drew Merringer and Chris Hampton, along with the OSU Media Day that we had down in Corvallis. We'll get to all of that fun local audio. So college football in full swing and effect of, like, how are we ranking things and keeping up with the injuries. Like, USC lost their starting center. Did you see that, Killian O'Connor?
I missed that.
He had non-contact leg injury. I forgot
to
get this
Friday.
That's
never a good thing.
No, he's basically cooked, is what Lincoln Riley said. So USC has lost their starting center. That's
bad news.
In a season where your expectation is to make the playoff, and that's what I'm kind of curious about, because right now, what I find fascinating is the narrative-based stuff on the good coaches and the really good programs and whether they can or cannot versus how many coaches out there, let me ask you this, Swag, how many coaches out there are sitting in a spot that if they don't get their team to a playoff, you're going to wonder, have they lost it or are they capable of ever getting it back? Like Lincoln Riley. Is a great
Riley,
example of this.
Dabo Swinney.
Dabo.
Sark.
Sark.
If they don't get to a playoff?
I mean, he's fired if they don't get to a playoff.
Yes.
There's not a world that exists where you should be losing three games.
No.
Not with this kind of talent on paper.
No.
Now, injuries can play a big part of that, but Dabo's a good one, too. Dabo doesn't get Clemson back to the playoff. Because, like, you look at the ACC, and you can say, well, I'll buy SMU. You can... Maybe you think there's going to be a jolt and a bump from the Lupoy hire, and you got a returning sophomore quarter. Maybe they're in the mix in the ACC. Maybe Florida State takes a leap again. We know Miami is reigning supreme in the conference, but if you rattle off the ACC, you're not sitting in a spot where you go, yeah, man, you know, it's just hard for Dabo to be able to do it. That's not how that works. When you win two national championships, the bar has been set, man. There's an expectation here. And they made it 2 years ago, but they made it kind of on default. They were just in the conference title game and won it in a walk-off 55-yard field goal. They didn't necessarily go out there and show everybody how amazing they were. And then they came in with expectations, and what'd they do? Completely fell on their face. So right now, we're having people, because I listened to a little bit of Pate's show, because, you know, he's going to be on, I would assume, back by the time I get back. We're going to get Josh Pate back. He's talking about how people are noting, yeah, I don't know if Dan Lanning can win it. It's like, is Dan Lanning a bigger concern, or is Lincoln Riley a bigger concern? Is Dabo a bigger concern? Even though he's won it, it's been a minute. Is Dabo a bigger concern for people? Is he ever going to get back to it? Is he ever going to compete at the top end level? And so I think we're in that weird spot where we don't get to consume the camp. As I mentioned, Ohio State is selling tickets for fans to be able to watch it, but mostly everybody's on Area 51 secrecy here. You can't know what's happening with my starting left guard. And so it leaves us pondering and wondering, like, who is going to take the leap? And then also I look at the reverse of, like, who is going to basically make me not believe in them at all anymore? Like, I'm out on Dabo. Now, Dabo has a chance to prove me wrong, and maybe they get to a semifinal, or they're a really good quarterfinal team. I don't really have an expectation they'll make the playoff. You don't embrace the portal. It's hard for me to get behind you and really think you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Lincoln going into year five. He says now's the time to compete. All right, but here's your first built-in excuse. You've lost your starting center.
Yeah.
All right, and like that's an important position, as we learned 2 years ago with the Oregon Ducks against Idaho and Boise State. You need a good center, and the Ducks ultimately figured that out. USC is supposed to be USC. They should have enough talent to be able to replace a starting center, but it's not nothing. So Lincoln Riley's sitting in that spot. Do we buy Lincoln Riley? Like, I think I'm more interested in, can Marcus Freeman win the title? Sure. Can Dan Lanning? Sure. Can Sark? Sure.
Can Kalen DeBoer?
That's a great one. I think yes, but he's not going in with everybody feeling great about Alabama's chances and what they're going to be this year. And some think they might be sixth, right? Like, here's a good one where I wouldn't say either position is wrong. Josh Heupel. Tennessee might be getting slept on this year. They've got a lot of talent. Their offensive line is pretty loaded. They've got studs on defense. He made the playoff 2 years ago with a quarterback who's now in UCLA. Like, you know, are you buying Josh Heupel stock? I don't know what to gauge with Josh Heupel, Eli Drinkwitz, some of those kind of middle-tier SEC programs that we know are capable of being in the playoff. But, you know, Drinkwitz hasn't done it. Heupel did it 1 year, and then last year, I know he lost Nico, but, you know, what's he going to be this year? Now there's no more Nico excuse.
No.
Now it is, are you going to get back to what you were? So it's more wondering about the guys that you're buying in on. I buy Dan Lanning. I buy Marcus Freeman. It's not a hard opinion to have. It's, you buy Josh Heupel, do you still buy Lincoln Riley? Where you're sitting at in kind of the coaching world and viewpoint of who's going to lift their team and make the team better.
Do we buy, is it Mike Elko?
Elko at A&M.
At A&M.
That's another good one. He's got his quarterback back, but, you know, people kind of wonder what his passing pedigree is going to be. He lost his two receivers. You know, incredibly, I would say, disappointing playoff appearance at home, but also Miami proved to be pretty damn loaded on defense, especially on the defensive line. And so that caused a wildly inconsistent day for A&M's offense. I don't know if I can sit here confidently. Like, how many teams are you confident in right now? Not knowing every in and out about them, but it's August 10th. How many teams are you solely sold on?
As far as?
You think they're in the playoff? Barring, obviously, the massive injury bug.
Ohio State, Oregon, Notre Dame, Georgia.
Not Miami?
Miami, because of their conference. They're so dominant in their conference.
They finished fifth in it last year. They did it on a tiebreaker technicality.
No, I understand that.
That's what's funny about it.
Yeah.
Wasn't even a great conference last year, and they kind of only got in because we couldn't have an 8-5 Duke team. So I think mostly you're right on those programs. Oklahoma? Mateer's back, or are you still kind of questioning Venables?
I outside of Georgia in the SEC.
Not even Texas is in this for you?
They should be.
But they're not.
I you've been burned by, Texas is, yeah.
Sark is Latin for 7-5.
Exactly.
At Texas, it's 9-3. That's unfortunate. But he's in the playoff 2 years ago, and he made the semifinal.
They're all telling me, the nine-game conference schedule.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see if we get, a couple of, if we get, you know, undefeated or one loss teams in the SEC title game, or if they're all going to end up with two losses because they all have to play everybody or most everybody.
Now. I feel like they teed that up at Media Day to largely sit in the excuse machine for
trying to influence the selection committee.
Absolutely. And we know the selection committee runs kind of by their own metrics. So I you know, it's not to me the conversation for a lot of people. Can Dan Lanning and Marcus Freeman win it?
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
There's no reason
why would you say they can't?
Exactly.
I think Pate noted five of the last seven national champions have been won by coach winning their first title.
Yeah.
I think I had that stat right. What evidence? I mean, you don't need, I don't need, or like Oregon let down last year. Absolutely. But to suggest they can is ridiculous. I'm more wondering about the coaches that are sitting in the, they've proven it before or they've shown us evidence, but lately, you know, Clemson to me is like real interesting. Kalen DeBoer, real interesting. Lincoln Riley, you're going to finally do it. No more excuses with your returning quarterback. The schedule's hard. Okay. USC.
Yeah.
When did the schedule become too difficult for
you?
You
guys wanted to join the super conferences.
You made your decision, and you've kind of helped make this landscape what it is because of that decision, because you were too scared of Oregon, and then Oregon ended up following you anyway. So it makes the whole thing funny. All right, we'll get more into college football coming up. Hour number two, kick it off. Cafe, Day Dirt and Sprague. It's a loaded one. Hour two, 105.1 The Fan.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.